Now, you talked about the fact that the Albane study raised this question of pneumonectomy and specifically right pneumonectomy. Can you talk a little bit more about sort of the pathophysiology? What kinds of cases are these and what's going on that these people have bad outcomes?
No, absolutely. And so as physicians, as human beings, whatever, we're here to help people for the most part. And we don't want the cure, quote unquote, to be worse than the disease. And, you know, in lung cancer, you have to try pretty hard to beat that bad disease in rat. But the truth of the matter is a right pneumonectomy, for whatever reason, whether it's cancer or a bronchogenic problem or whatever, is a disease unto itself. And the reason being that the right ventricle doesn't like having a single capillary bed, the left lung only, to pump to. And in patients who are used to having, you know, and these are patients who are their 60s, 70s, the average age is 75 now, with some concomitant coronary disease and RV and left ventricular dysfunction, et cetera, you know, putting them through a right pneumonectomy where all of a sudden you clamp acutely the right main pulmonary artery, which has to be stapled off, right, to take out the right lung, makes sense. All of a sudden, the right ventricle, which has been pumping to both of these lung fields, now only pumps to the left side. All that volume goes to one lung only, and the capillary bed usually doesn't like it. And it especially doesn't like it after what? The sort of vascular stimulation of chemotherapy, right? Because it upregulates, you know, patients are, first, they have cancer, they're hypercoagulable, then they've gotten chemo or chemo radiation, the endothelium is inflamed, the whole cytokine system is primed anyway. And what happens is you take out the right lung and things seem to be okay, but within a day or two, you know, especially if the operation has been done expeditiously, minimal blood loss and transfusion requirement, all that above, and within a day or two, what happens is the right ventricle starts to sag because the left lung starts screaming, and it starts screaming in the sense of pulmonary hypertension. So it's a subtle call until it becomes a tragedy where you're making rounds, and the residents always miss this because Mr. and Mrs. Jones, oh, he's doing fine, you know, and I just go by and I look and you hear the boop, 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 boop. Since we're in a sound studio, what the hell, right? You get to that kind of low C and you know, and then it goes boop, 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 boop. And then the residents are on to the next patient, everything's fine, except to say, oh, Mr. Jones is fine. He's on 6 liters now, he'll be fine, nasal cannula. But, you know, day two, the black box, evil humor, cytokine rage, this is when hell is breaking loose. And basically, that lung is having a pulmonary hypertensive crisis, and the oxygen requirement goes up, and then the RV will sag, and the patient will crash and burn. And, you know, 6 hours from then, we'll be on ECMO or dead. And that's what happens. So as they have increasing oxygen requirements, not because their x-ray doesn't look any worse, they don't have an infiltrate, they're not coughing up junk, it's just the pulmonary hypertension. So the right pneumonectomy is an issue because a slightly bigger lung, bigger capacity, it handles about 55 to 60% of the blood flow typically, and when you clamp it acutely, you can get into trouble. You get into more of trouble when they've been primed by preoperative chemo radiation because for whatever reasons, nefarious reasons we don't understand, the capillary beds are inflamed and they're more prone to this pulmonary hypertensive issue. That becomes, ARDS, that becomes right ventricular dysfunction. The right ventricle is connected to the left ventricle, and then they sag and they basically, it's a very high mortality rate. In fact, in the studies, you know, it's anywhere from 15 to 25% mortality after right pneumonectomy. Now, after chemo radiation. So what does that mean if you're the surgeon and you've explored this patient? Well, one thing that for sure it means is if you've explored this patient, right, let's say they at some point had some mediastinal sampling and they were biopsy proven N2, okay, they got chemo radiation, that was the drill. Then you said, look, and the oncologist says, look, I did what you said and radiation, you know, delivered to the 5,000 rads and the tumor shrank a lot and everything looks good. Okay. Then you explore the patient and you're contemplating and you're stuck with this sense of the tumor is central, you have to do a pneumonectomy. You need to confirm, in my mind, and in our practice, for sure, that those N2 nodes have been sterilized. So what I'm saying to the few one surgeon on the side of the road listening is go ahead and do the nodal sampling. It's no big deal. You know, score up the mediastinal pleura, sample the nodes right then and there. By frozen section, there's no looking down a small mediastinoscope, oh my God, bleeding in a dark hole. There's none of that. It's a piece of cake. Sample the nodes. If the pathologist tells you, you know what, I don't see any tumor here, then you say, okay, this guy has been downstaged from previous biopsy-proven N2 to now N0. It's worth taking the risk of whatever it is. It might be 5%. In our practice, it's not even that, even with right pneumonectomies, but we're very selective, you know, or it might be 25% of going on to having a potential bad outcome. Because on the other hand, it's a 75, remember, to 80, 95% chance you might actually help the patient, right, by resecting their residual disease. Now, what becomes problematic, right, is one thing is for sure, if you take out the right lung, they don't have their right lung, right? So physiologically, they're down to one lung. If you take out their right lung and there's persistent tumor, but they're having a really good response, right? And the pathologist a week later, a tumor board says, look, all the nodes were sterilized. You say, great. And you look in the primary tumor and you see that the tumor clearly was on the run. You know, there's a big treatment effect, minimal viable tumor. This is headed towards or has become a pathologic CR, which is the hurrah. That means that patient can go from a 20% survival long term to maybe 50% if they don't auger in postoperatively from a complication, right? But hopefully that isn't going to happen. So then you feel good that you did something. On the other hand, if they have persistent N2 disease that you confirmed, but you only found out a week later after you've already taken out their right lung, you really haven't helped that patient. So persistent N2, especially multistation, paratracheal, and subcarinal, do not do a right pneumonectomy. It's just the wrong answer. And then, of course, try to avoid the whole physiologic issues of right pneumonectomy by doing, you know, a sleeve resection where you can remove the tumor, get clean margins, and then save the lower lobe typically, sew it up to the main airway. You have to splice the artery, you splice that. You know, this is standard. What used to be in the reign of the deans of thoracic surgery around the country, now most centers of excellence can do this routinely with very little issue.
How about most thoracic surgeons in a community setting?
Yeah, I think most community surgeons, thoracic surgeons, cardiac if they're doing it, or even general surgeons, if they're experienced with it, they could do it. It's just that they're not comfortable doing it, so they probably tend not to do it, which means that they would tend to just do a pneumonectomy, which I'm not saying that there aren't patients who do benefit and they go on to not get these complications. But of course, like anything else, if you can try to spare a lung, improve by maximizing their patient's lung function postoperatively, guess what? They have more performance status to get adjuvant chemotherapy. They do better in life in general. They'll be happy.